You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on our summer music series set list, we'll feature the Milwaukee rap group Automatic.
First, it's time for our weekly review of state news. On Wednesday, a federal appeals court blocked a lower court's order that would have eased Wisconsin's voter ID law for the general election in November. The court order would have allowed voters without legally approved photo IDs to vote by signing an affidavit saying they faced a, quote, reasonable impediment to getting one of those IDs.
And yesterday, another judge, another case, another stay on a voter ID ruling. Robert Mentzer joins us now for this and other top stories from around the state this week. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Well, before we get to voter ID, Rob, some breaking news this afternoon. Brendan Dassey, who was convicted along with his uncle Stephen Avery in the murder of Teresa Halbach, Dassey has won a court order that could result in his getting a new trial or being freed from prison. Now, this is one of the people profiled in that Netflix documentary series, Making a Murderer, that got a lot of attention around the country. Rob, what do we know about this?
Yes, this is just breaking, just within the last 30 minutes or so. A federal judge has given prosecutors 90 days to decide whether or not Dassey can get a new trial, and had some fairly harsh words for prosecutors, said that their investigators' false promises to Dassey and their treatment of him during the interrogations, especially given that he was 16 years old at the time and had some mental deficits, the judge says that this became an involuntary confession under the 5th and 14th Amendments. And so, I mean, yeah, there's a likelihood that this will be appealed, but it certainly opens the door to a new trial for Dassey.
So we'll be watching for more details on that and what happens in that 90-day span. So turning to another court case, two other court cases, actually, Rob, Wisconsin's voter ID law. So earlier this week, a federal court granted a stay on this voter ID ruling from a federal judge in Wisconsin. So what happened?
Well, so I'm trying to come up with the right metaphor for this. Is it like the end of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where the killer keeps coming back? Is it like a bad penny? Yeah. It's 30 years old. What is at issue with the voter ID law, which has been challenged and blocked and brought back in and blocked and brought back in, at this point is not the voter ID itself. Having to show an ID at the polls has been found to be legal. Maybe it's a good policy, maybe it's a bad policy, but that requirement is not the issue anymore. The issue now is about the ID. You can't charge someone to vote, and so that means the state has an obligation to provide free IDs to people who don't have one. And so the back and forth this week has been about whether or not to allow people to sign an affidavit and say, I don't have one and it would be hard for me to get one. A federal judge found that, or a federal panel of judges found that that a lower judge hadn't considered the actual, whether it was actually true, and so threw that out. But that's really the issue, is how hard or easy is it for people in the state to get the free state ID that they need to vote?
That's one case making its way through the courts. There's also another one that covered wider election laws, just including voter ID, and the judge in that case issued a stay yesterday on his ruling, and this has to do with provisions from the state for people who have trouble getting IDs. A long, complicated story, but it sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, everything is in place for the November election in the way that the state's voter ID law was passed, pretty much, at this point, right?
Right, that's right. That's exactly right, at this point, yes.
So bring your ID to the polls if you want to vote. Get that ID now, I guess, is the lesson for voters there, and we'll keep watching those courts. What do we expect, higher court rulings now on these two rulings anytime soon?
Not anytime soon. I wouldn't expect that. I think that it's at this point the higher court would be a 4-4 Supreme Court anyway.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network, Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Looking at the top stories in Wisconsin this week, Rob, a lot of people have been watching for the new Marquette Law School poll this week. They're looking for presidential polling data in Wisconsin. big lead, double-digit lead, depending on how you slice it, anywhere from 10 to 15 points for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. A lot of people surprised by the extent of that lead. What did you make of it?
Love the Marquette Law School poll. Always, it has a good track record, and it always is a treasure trove of information. So indeed, it's a big lead, and it shows Hillary Clinton pulling away. The usual disclaimers apply, right? It's a moment in time. This comes after the Democratic National Convention and Donald Trump's very, very rough political week. So this might be, this might represent about as big as a gap as you would expect. But it's a huge gap, right? Especially when you add those likely voter screens. The difference is 52% Clinton to 37% Trump among likely voters. That's tricky to determine at this point, to this far away from the election, but the way to really understand that is a measure that shows that Wisconsin Republicans are just not that excited about getting out to vote for Donald Trump.
Now, Mike Pence was just here. Donald Trump has another visitor too expected in the very near future, so apparently they're not looking at these poll results and giving up on Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Wisconsin is part of the sort of upper Midwest region that is important to Trump if he is to win the White House. So we hear a lot about Pennsylvania and Michigan, but Wisconsin is right in there. I think that it's probably significant that Pence has come to, he was in Milwaukee this week, and that's in particular, so the suburban Milwaukee, of course, is like a Republican stronghold and a place where Republicans need to really run up the vote if they're going to win anything statewide. And suburban Milwaukee is also a place that the Marquette poll demonstrated Donald Trump is extremely unpopular. So, you can sort of glimpse a little bit of strategy there in sending Mike Pence there to try to make the case for his guy and say, like, hey, you guys are conservatives, you should really vote for the Republican here.
And another big election people around the country are watching here in Wisconsin, the Senate race, Ron Johnson and Russ Feingold. What did we see in the polls there?
So, short version, Feingold is at 49% and Johnson at 43% among registered voters. Among likely voters, Feingold is up to 53% and Johnson to 42%. So 11 points. That's the biggest gap that we've seen in this race. In July, it was likely voters, it was 46% Feingold to 40% Johnson. So yeah, I mean that's in a way that may be partly a demonstration of that might be a Trump effect, especially among likely voters. If Republicans are less likely to get to the polls, that hurts Ron Johnson and it hurts other Republican candidates on the ticket.
Again, a moment in time, Rob. But as we start to wrap up, what are you looking for to see if either party still considers Wisconsin a battleground state in the Senate and presidential election?
Sure. Well, okay. So campaign visits certainly are a sign that the campaigns are seeking to compete. But also, you got to look at ad buys, right? That is there haven't been a lot, to be honest. And so it will. That's a major decision in any campaign where to spend your resources, particularly particularly on the airwaves. And if the state is not that close, we may not see as many of those as we have the last couple cycles.
Well, Rob, thanks as always for being with us today.
All right, thank you.
That's Robert Mentzer. He's a storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, based in Wausau. He joins us every Friday afternoon to talk about some of the top state news stories that happened over the past week.